this is one to me that is almost, it's hard to kind of put down why it feels so wrong, but it definitely, from sort of a just a pit of the stomach kind of feeling, doesn't feel quite right. The casting of the famously deceased James Dean. What kind of concerns are people actually putting into words, raising around this issue?
Look, I think for the first point is the fact that it won't be James Dean, and the fact that it is a digital reconstruction. And I think we're living in times of post-truth or fake news, or there's a certain ambiguity around information just in general. So I think the climate in which this film will be emerging is one in which we're facing a little bit of mistrust of technology, especially now what we see with our eyes. They tell us not to believe what we read in the newspaper. Now we're questioning what we're actually seeing on the screen. And I think this goes to the idea around the uncanny valley. So the work that scientists and engineers are doing towards creating robotics and virtual assistants and so forth, the closer that something gets to looking like a human, so an animated human, for instance, the more strange we feel about it. So a lot of the animations we see in cinema like Pixar and DreamWorks and so forth these days, they exaggerate the human characters. They don't look anything like we would do in a photorealistic sense, because if it was too close to that photorealistic image, we feel a bit strange about it. I mean, if you think about the digital reconstructions in the Star Wars Rogue One from 2016, so they brought back the actor Peter Cushing as the as the Imperial general. He was completely reconstructed from obviously images that they had of him to create almost a likeness of him. And they, not to kind of reveal any spoilers or anything about the end of the film, but Carrie Fisher makes an appearance as a youthful Carrie Fisher at the very end of that film. And if anyone has seen that, it's quite a jarring moment when you see her turn to the camera. She's obviously, it looks like she's in her 20s. It's definitely Carrie Fisher, but we know that it's a digital reconstruction. So I think there's that uncomfortable feeling we have when we know it's not real, but we're being convinced in some ways that it is. So there's that tension, definitely.
Yeah, Rogue One, I must admit, was at the forefront of my mind because the examples you mentioned there, I can say I was all that impressed when I watched the film itself. I was all that impressed with the technological achievements that the film chose to make. But this technology in some other examples is moving incredibly quickly and can be quite impressive and quite convincing. So those kind of fake news sort of aspects that you mentioned about this before, these concerns, in your view, would be seen as fairly valid?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if anyone's seen the what they call deep fakes, on the internet, which are doing the rounds. Some of them, are parodies, and some of them are better than others. But particularly the actual technical demonstrations and explorations done by some of the researchers at Stanford and MIT, where they've reconstructed Obama, Barack Obama, the former president, and then put words into his mouth, and it looks like he really is saying those words, and it's it's fairly innocuous what's being said, but you can imagine how that could be used in a presidential campaign, in even a local political sense. I mean, the technology is available there with a little bit of fiddling around the edges that anyone who's done video editing and has a bit of an idea of basic coding could get that technology and manipulate, if they had enough data, basically anyone to say anything. And I think that's really where the concern lies, and the fact that DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, has invested upwards of $20 or $30 million in trying to develop techniques to detect fake video. And I mean, if an organisation like that is going to those lengths to try and unpick what may or may not be true. How is the general public in an election cycle or in any kind of local doubt about a political issue or a policy issue expected to know what's real or what's not? And we haven't seen anything like that as yet, but I think it's only a matter of time. I mean, we're talking here about James Dean, who, as you said, has been dead for a long time, but actors such as, Gal Gadot, Daisy Ridley, even Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the Democratic senator in the United States, their images have been taken and reused on the bodies of porn actresses. And those videos have circulated quite widely on the web. Again, some of them are worse than others in terms of the quality and believability, but, we're talking here about cultural figures, political figures, real people, people who have sensibilities, values, who are being manipulated and then exploited quite, grotesquely on the internet. So, the potential for this technology not only to violate the dead, is actively being used on people today in contemporary cultural media circles.
Well, that certainly brings us to the issue of consent around some of these images. Obviously, as you say, these are living individuals that are having their consent violated in some ways. I mean, you compare it to something like maybe revenge porn laws. Now, the law is now catching up with these things. Another example, Robin Williams restricted the use of his image for a period after his death, right? Quite specifically, after he unfortunately passed. Does there need to be more legislation or more consideration around the notion of consent if this technology continues to be more and more accessible?
Well, look, I think we're living in a time of technological acceleration, and a lot of the technologies that we deal with from a day-to-day experience are out of the realms of regulation. They're moving too quickly. And as we know, the system of government is slow to react in certain situations. But then in other situations, I would say, quite rightly, tentative to make any changes that could inhibit, innovation and so forth. But, I always think back, and this goes back to the other issues that we're confronting at the moment around the climate and sustainability and so forth. But if we think back to what Indigenous communities think about the dead, the idea that, it is not right to, use those images, especially so close to their passing, but, even, decades afterwards. I mean, what does it mean to repurpose, reuse, or just display the image of a dead person? I think we feel we have an ownership over famous people. If we think about the blatant commercialization of the images of people like James Dean or Marilyn Monroe or Elvis Presley or Michael Jackson on T-shirts and posters and cups and, the extreme consumerism of Hollywood and the music industry of dead people, whether sanctioned or not. We seem to think we own them.
Well, we will have to leave it there. But Mitch, thank you very much. Do appreciate you joining us this morning. Look, unpacking this one for us a little bit.
Yeah, look, no worries. I would point people to the film The Congress. I don't know if you know of that one. It's Ari Folman's film, The Congress. He did the film Wolf of Bashir, that fabulous documentary. But it features Robin Wright, whose character is in this situation. She's basically told, you're getting a bit old. We want to do a volume capture of you, capture all your emotions and all your likeness, and then we'll own you for the future and can use you any way we want. So check that one out. That goes right to the issue of, if James Dean was alive, he might be confronting today.
No, I do appreciate the recommendation. Mitch, have a great day.
You too. Thank you.